Alice will now come and share our scripture. I couldn't find you. Where'd she go?
Yes, now I will share the scripture. From Matthew 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will I eat, or what will I drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today.
There is always plenty to worry about, isn't there? Plenty of things to stir us up or make it hard to sleep at night. Plenty of things that can make us angry, nervous, afraid. There are the personal worries about health for ourselves and those we love. There's all the worries about things, right? Money, bills, cars, home repair. And then there are worries about jobs, schooling, starting back in the fall, relationships. Worries about addictions or mental illness or the challenges of aging. There are our children, our friends, our spouses, our parents. There's always somebody we can find to focus our worry on if we let ourselves. And yet, we cannot control most of what happens to them, and we certainly can't control what they choose to do. Years ago, a therapist told Bill and I that worry comes with being alive. You either worry or you're dead, he said. Very upbeat view on life, but there is some truth. There is some truth in it. And of course, there are the worries of our world. Andrea Staffel mentioned what's going on in our state right now. We listen to TV or radio, we go online, we read the news in whatever way we get our news these days, and it's easy to be overwhelmed. There's so much going on to make us worry. Politics, craziness, the difficulty getting things done in Washington and Albany, the men in power who refuse to get the message when it comes to keeping their thoughts to themselves and their hands to themselves. There's the rising tide of stories about the effects of climate change. There are droughts and fires, floods, rising sea level, habitat loss. It's so overwhelming, and it fills us with so much grief and distress. And yes, right now, this past 2 weeks, there is once again the rising number of COVID cases here in our community, where we thought we'd gotten things under control. Even though we knew most of the rest of the world was still in a mess with this pandemic, I think many of us thought, okay, we're doing well here. We're in good shape in Ithaca. Here it felt like we were coming out of the woods. We'd been freed up to be together, to eat together, to sing together, to travel. But the past 2 weeks are pushing us back towards some degree of uncertainty and worry. I don't know about you, but I want to be done with this thing. I want it to be over, but it's not. For much of the world, it's not done at all. And even for us here who are so privileged to have the access to vaccines and to healthcare that we do, there are still the lingering questions. How safe are we? How careful do we need to be? I found myself feeling really angry last week when all this came up again. I don't want to be living with this, and I don't want us to be living with this. I don't want to have to manage the differences between just within our community about who's more comfortable with what and who feels unsafe to even show up in person and all of this, all that it creates in us. But life really isn't about what I want or what we want, is it? Life happens and we have to deal with it, like it or not, one way or another. Now, we may find ourselves either wanting to know what's going on by tuning in a lot, or wanting to turn it all off and just deny that it's happening. I kind of vacillate between the two much of the time, and neither response really works. We need to find a different way, a way of faith that helps us manage all that life brings at us. All that is good and wonderful and joyful, and all that is uncertain and deeply distressing, all the things that make us worry. So I turn again and again to Jesus' teachings, often to this passage. I know I've preached on it before. I'm sure I will preach on it again. It's one of those touchstone passages for me. Here in the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, we hear Jesus, the wisdom teacher, telling us how to live with joy, with fullness. Don't worry, he said. Look at the birds. Consider the flowers. Today's troubles are enough for today. Tomorrow will have worries of its own. It's not meant to be a simplistic command. It's not just, don't worry, be happy, in a sort of simplistic kind of way. It's not about intensely willing our worries to go away as if we could. If you try to do that, you just end up worrying about your worrying. But Jesus' teaching is about shifting our focus, learning to put our eyes on something besides our worries. Just before this passage, Jesus says in the sermon, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness." He's talking about focus, about where we put our attention, where we center our lives. Don't worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Now, Jesus was saying this to really poor people, people who didn't have a lot to eat or drink, people who didn't have a lot to wear. And yet he said to them, don't worry about those things. How much more most of us have than those first century Galileans who heard these words from Jesus. And yet we get just as caught up in worrying as much or more than they do. The more we have, the more we have to protect, to fuss over, to worry about, to take care of. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven, Jesus said, where neither moth nor rust consumes, where thieves cannot break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So look at the birds. Meditate on the flowers. I asked Alice to read because she, of course, is one of our flower people. This is Jesus' teaching, offering us a wisdom practice. Pay attention to the natural world around you. Let that help you with your focus. Learn to live in the present like the birds. They're busy through the day finding what they need, but there's no labor of sowing and reaping and wondering if it's going to get wiped out by the rainstorm. There's no storing up in barns for the long days ahead. Birds are creatures of the moment. Like most animals other than us, they live in the present. They live in today. They can teach us about living in the now. Songbirds wake up every morning and sing, not knowing anything about what the day ahead will bring. They still sing. Thomas Merton wrote that the morning song of birds is a daily hymn of praise to God. What if we begin our days like that? Douglas McKelvey, in his book, Every Moment Holy, has this brief reflection upon hearing bird song. You, O God, draw praise from the frailest of things. So also draw praise from me. The first evening Bill and I moved into our new house, we sat down very tired from moving in our camping chairs in the back looking at the view. Within a very few minutes, a hummingbird came and hovered a few feet right in front of us, checking us out. Some cardinals were flying back and forth into the tree, the cottonwood tree. We saw two bluebirds flitting along the bank down below, and a goldfinch flashed in the setting sunlight. Stop. Look. Pay attention. Consider the birds. Don't worry about all those things. Don't worry about what you're going to do. Don't fret about all those things you've been so busy moving. Your heavenly parent knows what you need. I've been reading again in Scott Wiedenthal's wonderful book, Living on the Wind, which is a fascinating book about bird migration. Right now, this month, in the Izumbik Wildlife Refuge on the Bering Sea in northern Alaska, thousands and thousands, maybe millions of birds are beginning to gather, feeding on the rich food of those mud flats, preparing for their amazing migrations in the coming weeks. From that one area, birds will fly across the globe, across the Pacific to all the way as far as Africa, through the Philippines to Australia and New Zealand and tiny islands in the South Pacific. Others will fly down the western coast of our continent or across Canada to the Maritime Province and then south to Mexico and Central America and deep into South America. Many of these birds are totally incapable of surviving if they are forced down onto the ocean. They cannot float and swim, many of these birds. So they fly 5,000 or 6,000 miles without a single stop for rest. Can we imagine that? They finally land in the exact area their parents had come from the year before. Scientists are still trying to figure out how they know when to go and where to go. But it's not worry about winter that starts the migration going, because none of them who ever stayed around for winter would have survived to tell the tale, right? So somehow there's something internal, changes in light and temperature and changes literally within their bodies, the storing up the fat, the atrophying of certain organs, all sorts of changes in their brain chemistry. And somehow they know. Their evolutionary development over the eons has led them into these amazing migratory patterns, these patterns that lead them to what they need next. And right now, another one of my favorite, most amazing birds, the demoiselle cranes, the Mongolian common cranes, they're also called. Right now in the high plains of Tibet and Mongolia, they are beginning and making their journeys over the highest mountains in the world, flying over the Himalayas into India for their winter sanctuaries. They rise on the warm thermals in the morning to soar above the highest peaks in the world. They battle icy cold and fierce winds in order to reach safety on the other side. Consider the birds. Look at them. Pay attention. Learn about them. Our Creator sees them and feeds them and guides them on these amazing journeys year after year. They can inspire us to sing. They can give us hope in uncertain times. Hans Bump shared a poem of his with me this week, The Crimson Finch. Thank you, Hans. A crimson finch sits on my rooftop, a beacon to attract my smile. It sings into a brilliant morning as sunlight smells like strawberries. A crimson finch sits on my rooftop, a splash of rainbow on the skyline. Serenity shines across its feathers, a touch of grace rests on its wings. This bird, this grace, its song of hope are gifts divine and nature's blessing. Share them with a generous spirit to each and every one. And lest we be remiss, there are also the flowers. What a wonderful time of year it is to meditate on the flowers of our gardens, the flowers of the fields. We are so blessed because we live in a place where flowers are so amazingly abundant. White, yellow, orange, red, purple, pink, and blue. They blossom in the fields, they bloom in their gardens, but they also grow just along the roadside, just doing their thing. Each one is unique, each one delightfully designed, each one a witness to our amazing Creator God. Some of them we cherish, others we label as weeds and dig them up and throw them away, don't we? Or as Jesus said in that day when they threw them in the oven, that's because they were using them to start a fire, to get their wood fire going so they could bake their bread. Here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow. So in all their beauty, in all their abundance, it teaches us so much about who God is. They're also a reminder that everything is temporal. Everything of this earth is always changing, season to season, life and death. We're all part of those rhythms in our lives, and we can choose to embrace them, to live with them, or we can ignore them and try to fight against them. But the seasons move on. Life moves forward. Jesus calls us to know what's important and choose life that is focused on that, on the realm of God, on the fullness of life and love right now. And he invites us to see that all around us, creation is showing us how to live into that fullness. The birds of the air and the flowers of the field invite us into the holy now. They show us how to live in the present. We cannot change the past. We cannot control the future. All we have is now, one day at a time, one hour at a time, one moment at a time. Trust in this moment. Jesus urges us to have faith in our heavenly parent who provides such richness, such abundance, whose mercy overflows every moment of every day. Seek first the kingdom of God, the realm of God. It is all around us. It is here. We just have to wake up, to tune in, to realize what is here and present for us. Brother Lawrence was a lay brother in a monastery in Paris in the 1600s. After his death, a small book of his sayings and letters was published with the title, The Practice of the Presence of God. If you've never read it, it's worth the read, or just look up quotes of Brother Lawrence. He worked in the monastery's kitchen for 30 years, where he cultivated a practice, a spiritual practice, of living in the awareness of God's presence, no matter what he was doing. He said, the time of busyness doesn't differ for me from the time of prayer. In the noise and clatter of the kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I still possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees in prayer. I have abandoned all particular forms of devotion, all prayer techniques. My only prayer practice is attention. I carry on a habitual, silent, and secret conversation with God, that fills me with overwhelming joy. Consider the birds, meditate on the flowers, wash your dishes, cut your vegetables, sweep your floor. Do whatever it is you need to do, but whatever you are doing, whatever we are, Jesus' wisdom invites us to live into the awareness, the attention to the presence of God, to be alive and attuned to God's realm of faith, hope, and love, which is all around us. Brother Lawrence said again, many things are possible for the person who has hope. Even more is possible for the person who has faith, and still more possible for the person who knows how to love. But everything is possible for the person who practices all three virtues. Pay attention. Stay awake. Consider the birds and the flowers. Amen.